The show for Marcia McMahon today. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show that I've prepared for you today. The music you've been listening to is Peaceful Planet Mix by Chris Moores. This is the first time I've filled in for Marcia, so forgive me if the content of the format of today's show may be somewhat different from what you are accustomed to. I would like to thank Marcia, if she's listening, for allowing me this opportunity to host The Peaceful Planet, which I happen to think is a really great show. You might recall when I was a guest recently and spoke with Marcia of my experience in being awakened in the middle of the night where I saw a UFO hovering over the eucalyptus trees in our backyard. And under hypnosis the following day, I recalled being on board this spaceship. And I shared the memory of my experience with these alien beings, friendly, loving alien beings, and the information that they shared with me about the future of our planet. To recap what I shared, basically, I was told that the day might come when our planet may no longer be inhabitable. And I was given a choice to remain on planet Earth and to pioneer or to relocate to another planet that was very similar to Earth where my family and I could continue living out our lives. If you recall, I also spoke briefly on my daughter's nighttime abductions. Although we both had our own personal encounters with alien beings, her experiences were without a doubt very different from mine. Mine were of a positive, loving, and informative nature, and the aliens that I encountered identified themselves as Palladian, where my daughter's visitors were what we would call the Greys, or reptilians. And her visits were an ongoing, terrifying nightmare. She was being taken from her bed at night, abducted against her free will. I had been invited or granted permission to meet and share with these extraterrestrials. And it didn't take me long to realize that we were being visited by two very different alien species with a completely different agenda. So if you haven't figured it out yet, our topic for today is alien abductions. And I have a very special guest who is brave enough to agree to do this interview. We will be taking calls later in the show. The toll-free number you might want to write down from the United States, you can call in at 877-876-5227. And in Canada, we have a toll-free number for you in 888-810-8322. But before I introduce you to her, I would like to read an excerpt from one of my most recent angel messages. It's titled, A Master Plan of Deception. And you can read this message and other angel messages that I've written on my website at www.timelyacceptance.com. Because of the content and implications implied in this message, I wish to state that this message is only a theory that I'm proposing as a possible reality and not necessarily the truth. I will begin. A Master Plan of Deception, a message from Carrie and her angels, and it was written on October 30th of 2007. Are we really facing the threat of global warming? And are we responsible for it? Or could this be a master plan of deception? The threat of global warming may be the latest wave of fear-based information circulating around the world today. But we ask you to ask yourself today to go within, to your God within, and ask, is this indeed the truth? If we stop driving our cars, cease cutting down the trees in our rainforests, and did not continue to pollute our oceans, lakes, rivers, and streams, would we really be able to change the predicted fate of our ice caps melting and water rising, flooding our coasts and displacing millions from their homes? Or is there another truth to be told? No one wishes to be deceived, but it is my understanding that the changes that we are experiencing are much bigger than us. Even in our disrespect and neglect to, and in regard to our environment, we are not the cause of global warming. To contradict the theory of global warming with the information we are now receiving of the sudden inactivity of the solar flares on our sun may actually suggest that we are heading toward a period of global cooling. So what is the truth? These changes may be occurring because our planet is actually making a transition within her new place within the universe. This is an act of God and not anything that we can control or change. Astronomers have long believed we are a planet in a solar system in the galaxy of the Milky Way. Just as we once believed the Earth was flat, Science has now discovered that we are actually in and of another galaxy, 10,000 times smaller than the Milky Way, and it is called Dwarf Sagittarius. What we now know is that Dwarf Sagittarius is merging with the Milky Way. We are moving into another dimension where Earth will finally take her place, her new place in the universe. Ironically, science has also been able to predict that the time when this shift may actually occur is December 21st, 2012. Now we have an explanation that supports the end of the Mayan calendar. The Mayans knew that this huge cosmic event was going to take place at this point in time. And the Bible, we've had for over 2,000 years now, that also attempts to describe and warn us to prepare for this cosmic event. When we look at all of our prophecies, we can see that this time is one that was predestined and not the result of mankind and our own personal making. If we took a look at Scripture in the book of Revelations, we are aware of the battle between God and his people and Satan and his people. We are also warned of Satan and his power of mass deception at this period of time. We are warned of the time when the Antichrist will appear in benevolence to mankind, yet will deceive us with his master plan and last attempt to sway us from God. We are also warned to not succumb to the mark of the beast. We are told not to fear, but to turn to God. Repent, which means, in translation, choose to think differently, and remain loyal and faithful servants through the end. We are promised that if we remain true to God, we will rise and enter the kingdom of heaven, where we will live in the presence of God in peace for eternity. We are also told the earth will pass away when we enter our new world. Okay, thank you. Suppose Satan really does have dominion over Earth, as we have been told. And suppose we were genetically engineered, given two strands of our actual 12 DNA, and placed on this Earth in creation, while being monitored and manipulated throughout the evolution of time. Satan's creation, a grand cosmic experiment, to see if we would evolve to remember our true source of origin, and choose to serve God instead of the one who would like us to serve him? And suppose that Satan's army is really the Greys, the alien beings we're coming to realize that have been here since the beginning of man, visiting in these ships that appear in the sky as a burning wheel, as described in Ezekiel in the Bible. We have proof of their existence in our ancient art and petroglyphs, displaying these crafts in the sky above, and these men in spacesuits with their helmets. The signs have always been there for us to see. Then we had the crash in Roswell that our government has gone to great lengths to cover up for the past 60 years. Project Blue Book was established, and then Majestic 12. And now another name has been given to this elite group who holds the knowledge of these beings and our relationship with them. Perhaps our government is being deceived in the Grays' purpose and intention, and believing that they're here to help us to survive global warming with their advanced technology and intelligence. I wish to remind you, these beings who have been taking people out of their beds at night onto their ships to endure these medical procedures, given implants, the mark of the beast perhaps, where they can be monitored, tracked, and even controlled. Then they are returned to their beds, to a deep state of induced sleep, with no conscious recollection where they have been and what they have experienced, all against their free will. Is this the act of one who serves a loving God, who loved us enough to give us the free will to choose whom we will serve? Or is this an act of one who deceives and wishes to control? It is my understanding that soon these beings will announce their presence to all throughout the world in an attempt to bring us together in the common cause of saving our planet from global warming, excuse me, which we already have been programmed to believe is true. Through fear, will we be motivated to receive these implants that will be presented as a good thing necessary to protect us? When in truth, this could be the mark of the beast that we've been warned not to receive. Will they convince us that we must work together under their control in order to reverse the damage we have caused to our planet in our ignorance and disregard? Ask yourself, wouldn't the threat of survival and an offer of hope be a brilliant way to gain control of the masses? Are we really facing global warming? Or could this be the biggest deception of all? To get us to choose to serve and worship another? Be clear, be wise, and do not let anything or anyone sway you from your commitment to serve God. Keep your focus on rising above all deception and the day when we will return to our true home with God. I'd like to note that not all alien species are of Luciferian influence. And in this message, I am referring to the Greys, also known as the Reptilians, and those who claim to be from Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2. In love and light, Carrie and her angels. I know this is probably one of the longest pieces that I've written, and I thank you for bearing with me. This is really something that I think we should all think about. As I stated in my book, Timely Acceptance, The God Within, I encourage each and every one of us to go within and question everything. I cannot stress enough the importance in developing your direct communication with your God within, also known as the Holy Spirit. So now I would like to introduce today's very special guest, Kelly Pacheco. Kelly is a wife and stay-at-home mother, or domestic goddess is she the label that she prefers. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology and of social behavior from the University of California, Irvine. Kelly is going to share with us for the very first time publicly about her close encounters with alien beings. And I should also tell you, I can personally validate Kelly's story because Kelly is my daughter. We will be taking calls, and I understand we have someone online now. But first, I'd like to introduce Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the Peaceful Planet.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
I suppose from your perspective, with your experiences, that it's not necessarily a peaceful planet in which you've grown up in.
It's as peaceful as we make it.
You are so courageous to share your story with us today. Gee, where do we begin? Shall we take this call?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hi, caller. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I was calling in to try to get a free reading.
Oh, well, Marcia does that on her show each week, and
okay.
And I'm hosting for Marcia today, and we weren't planning on doing readings in this show.
Okay.
But if you call back next week, Marcia will be hosting, and I would think she'd be doing readings.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
That's fine. You're fine. I'm listening to you anyway.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in.
I'll be listening, Kelly.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have anything to share on the subject, please call us back.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Oh. Okay, Kelly. Where do we begin? Would you like to share with us your earliest recollection or your first contact with these beings from another world?
Sure.
Or should we?
I can remember as early as being a small child, infant, toddler stage, in my crib, waking up in my room and pulling myself up and seeing three beings in my room, knowing that they were not human, they were not supposed to be there, not knowing exactly how to interpret what was going on or how I should react or feel. My memories of what they looked like are very vague. I was very young. I remember being afraid, but not knowing how to react. And then throughout my childhood, I've had other experiences, which I've recalled over time. Most of my memories have been suppressed, and a lot of them are very vague. Some of them come back with a trigger, a song, a sound of a voice, a smell, and sometimes they come in my dreams.
Have you ever been hypnotized to recall your experiences?
Sure. Where would you like me to start?
Oh, wherever you'd like. we want to hear about your story, so please feel free to share.
Well, I remember when I was an infant and I saw these beings, and I was afraid, and of course I didn't understand it, didn't think about it much. I was older, maybe early adolescence, and felt I had some type of irrational fear of aliens. And any sticker I saw, any Halloween decoration of an alien, any movie, anything, I could not watch. I'd become paralyzed, drop to my knees. And I thought it was an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have glimpses of memories come back where I was on a table and laying down on a table with a bunch of bright lights, very much like an operating room,
mm-hmm.
and a big machine or something medical up above me dropped down like a big needle into my eye.
Into your eye?
The corner of my eye, right where my nose bridge is.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember feeling anything. I remember feeling like gooey something on the side of my face. And then I was out, and I woke up in my bed, paralyzed, like when your arm falls asleep.
Right.
And you have to, you try really hard to move it around and get that feeling back, and the tingliness comes back, and that was all over my body.
Do you recall
and then after
how old
that,
you were?
I'm sorry?
Do you recall how old you were at this, with this?
Between 10 and 13, probably, early adolescence.
Okay.
But after that memory or experience, I got headaches. I had really bad headaches and bloody noses all the time.
Yes. And I remember telling you, oh, no, you're too young to have a headache.
Yeah. Well, I remember that.
I didn't know then.
I get headaches, bloody noses, and I could feel it. I could feel it inside. I'm very sensitive to my body.
So are you referring to an implant that
yes.
you believe that they put in you?
Yes, but at that point I didn't know what it was. I just felt that something was inside my head,
mm-hmm.
inside like my sinus cavity almost. I'm pinching the bridge of my nose right now because that's where I felt it was. I'm like
okay.
something was there constantly.
So it's still there. In other words, you haven't had it surgically removed.
I have not had it surgically removed. I know that when I was a little bit older, when I went to a doctor, told my pediatrician
yes,
about this, and I told them I was afraid. I was more concerned that I had some kind of, that I was crazy,
well,
that I was
you know,
developing
Kelly,
these irrational fears.
That was the first time that your father and I became aware of what was happening to you. We thought that your fear in going to sleep at night was just, goblins in the closet and just...
right, the boogeyman in the closet or under the bed, exactly.
Until you were able to identify and tell us that you were afraid to go to sleep because they come and get you in the night.
Right.
And when we asked you, who are they, you said the aliens. And, do you recall the visit with the pediatrician, if you'd like to share that?
Vaguely. I remember telling him about my fears and my heart racing and anxiety and whatnot. And he told me that I have the power to choose to ask them to stop visiting me, to tell them if I'm not ready, come back when I'm ready.
So I'd like to add that he wasn't at all surprised when you shared this information with him. And I remember him telling us that you were not the only one of his patients that had this experience. So I remember feeling very relieved that this wonderful pediatrician, who was you and your brother's pediatrician your whole childhood, was able to guide and assist us and give us this information. So he told you to tell them to go away?
He told me to tell them to go away, that I have, God gave me free will, and I have the right to choose to stop this communication. And I did, and I slept for a little while, for a few years.
So you told them to go away?
I told them to go away, to leave me alone, that I was terrified and didn't want to know anything, didn't want to go, didn't want to leave my bed. I wanted to feel safe.
Yes.
And I didn't feel safe. I never felt safe my entire life, my entire childhood. As soon as it got dark, I was terrified. I was afraid to be alone, afraid to sleep alone, afraid that something was going to come take me from my bed at night.
Can we back up a little bit to when you were 2 years old and you woke up in the middle of the night screaming for us and told us, do you remember what you told us that night?
No.
That there was a dog that came to you and wanted to take you with him, wanted your soul, and that you were so frightened?
I don't remember what I said. I don't remember what I saw. What I do remember is the feeling of being pulled, almost like being pulled into the dark side to avoid being pulled, and some kind of influence wanting control over me.
But you were able to resist and fight it off? And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've always had a strong connection to God, with Source, always.
Yes.
But there's always been that pull. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, I think you did a good job.
And honestly, at this point in my life, now that I'm older and understand a little bit more, I would attribute that to the implant.
Okay.
You know, going into adolescence and my teenagehood.
So you feel that the implant has an influence or amount of control? What do you think the purpose of the implant is, or why they implanted this device in you?
Originally, I probably would say tracking device, but honestly, I don't believe that anymore. I think that they can track us no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think more of anything is I viewed it as a sense of mind control, the ability to influence my thoughts and actions, almost like peer pressure from beyond, and the ability to change my thinking process. So when I would, you know, everyone gets depressed or upset every now and then. Everyone has a bad day. And I'd have a bad day and pull myself out of it. It's okay. Things are going to be fine. You know, God's always taking care of us. We'll get through with this. And then there was like the angel and the devil, the devil on my shoulder saying, but look what they did to you and look what happened and how are you ever going to come back? And just that pull back down, almost as if to get control of, to keep me from staying positive and going to the and staying in the light with Source, almost
so
like that whole disconnection from God,
which is what I implied in my piece that these particular species referred to as the Greys, suggesting that their purpose is to deceive us and to sway us off of our enlightened path, our path or commitment to God Source.
Right.
Yeah. So did you ever share with any of your friends? Or?
Nope. Didn't share with anyone. I still don't share. I don't offer any information unless I'm asked. everyone who knows me knows that I have had this paralyzing fear for a very long time, and it's become a running joke with everyone.
Almost like they want to tease you because they don't believe you.
Right.
Yeah.
Kelly's afraid of the little green men.
Right, right. I understand that. But it must have been horrible to have such a big secret that you kept inside. Did you try to block the memory, or were you...
I don't think I had to try and block the memory. I think that came fairly natural. I think my experiences have definitely led me to become interested in... Well, that's why I got my degree in psychology and social behavior.
Yes.
Is I've always been curious on why we react, why we do the things we do, thought process, and how outside influences can influence our own personal reactions. And I wanted to understand why I felt the way I did, why I had this, at this point, I believe, to be an irrational fear.
So you denied the experience.
And these crazy dreams, and exactly. I denied them. I pushed them aside. I didn't acknowledge them. They weren't. It was just a vivid imagination.
Right. Well, I remember in your teen years, and we had found this wonderful psychologist who specialized in matters of abduction, and I had offered for you to speak with him and go under hypnosis so that you would recall your experiences. And my point in recommending that to you was, I thought that perhaps if you brought it to the surface and could recall,
right,
then it would eliminate your fear and you could deal with it better. And that maybe
as is in most cases, most people need to relive it and get over it. That's how they deal.
Mm-hmm. But you denied it and said, I don't want to know, Mom.
Right.
You didn't want to bring it to the surface. But yet, even in preparing for the show and sitting around the fire pit on the patio and talking about your experiences, Kelly, you shared things that I don't remember you sharing. I mean, so that tells me that you are remembering bits and pieces as you progress.
Right.
What did they look like?
Okay.
You recall?
I'm recalling one particular incident that I remember from what I see, and all I saw was long, skinny hands. Something was in my closet. I woke up. I pulled myself out of that paralyzing sleep just enough to sit upwards, and I looked over to my closet, which I left open maybe 5 or 6 inches, and I saw this hand come out of my closet and just wrap his fingers around the door. I don't know why I say he. That's the feeling I get. And it was just long, skinny fingers, like they looked metallic-y to me. They looked like they were metal.
Like something out of the movie.
Like latex costume.
Hmm.
Like shiny latex, I guess, is the metallic-y shiny latex. That's how I picture it. And the hand, it was very long and skinny, 5 fingers, had his finger on the door, and poked his little head out and looked at me, and I saw the oval-shaped head, which is not as big as, you know, the stickers make it look, and these very, very big, shiny eyes.
Okay. Okay.
And
so,
that was... go ahead.
No. So the picture that you're describing is similar to the aliens that they portray in, like, Communion or these other...
I don't know what Communion is, but I know they looked very similar to the, you know, the pictures that, the stickers that people put on their cars, or the alien pictures that are on the skateboard companies everywhere right now.
Was their face... Well, it sounds to me, you say that their hands were, like, in a glove of this shiny metallic material. Was the face covered too, or did it look reptilian-like, or
I think my own interpretation is they probably wore suits. They probably wear some type of protective suit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And coming out of your closet, I mean, forgive me.
Which, by the way, to this day, I cannot sleep with the door or closet open. And my room has to face every door and closet. I have to be able to see every point and corner in my room when I sleep.
I can understand why. I remember up until you were at least 10 years of age, you would wait for us to go to sleep, or you thought we were asleep, and you would come sneaking into our bedroom with your little sleeping bag and pillow and would place yourself at the foot of our bed. And, you know, it was such a battle for us to get you back to your bed that, you know, we just gave up and pretended not to see you. And,
right.
But, you know, there was one incident that I recall, which was back in 94 or 95, and we had friends that were staying with us, and our friend had a little boy your age,
uh-huh.
And I think you were, let's see, how old would you have been then? 13?
I think I was,
yeah, you're about 13.
Junior high or high school.
And I, your father and I were going to sleep, and I saw this blue light come in through the window. And I thought, uh-oh, they're here, and they're coming to get Kelly. At this point, we knew, you know, what was going on. And I nudged your father and said, they're here. They're going to get Kelly. They're here. We have to help Kelly. We have to, you know, protect Kelly. And we both wanted to immediately jump out of bed and run to you, to your room, to prevent them from taking you. But instead, we were paralyzed. And in my motherly instincts and strong desire to want to protect you, I fought. I fought this spell that they put me under.
Right, which is what I did every time I saw them.
And yeah, and then I remember I was able to open my eyes just a crack, and I saw one, and what I saw was typically, you know, what you're describing.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, we have a caller.
We have a caller.
Oh, that's what that beep is. Please, hi, welcome to the Peaceful Planet.
Do you have a question for us?
Who are we speaking to?
This is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call today.
Sure. Please, share with us.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I do have a question for you. I have been seeing 1111, 222, 444, 555. I see it constantly. And for at least, I'd say at least 8 months now. And I would like to know if I'm getting a message from somebody.
Well, I would think that those numbers are very significant numbers to people who are into numerology. And like 1111 is the number of completion.
Right.
And it's a master number. And without going into another whole topic of today's show, yes, I would say that there's that these are messages to you, and that you're not alone. I think a lot of people are experiencing the same. And what I would recommend is that you, in meditation, go within and recall, remember, because we're going through changing times, and you know, the end of the Mayan calendar is December 21st, 2012, and you know, to some that means we're going off of the timeline and into multi-dimensional dimension existence of no time, where
right.
the past, present, and the future are all happening simultaneously. So I think there are a lot of people that are incarnating on the planet at this time to assist us all in remembering our purpose, why we chose to be here. And, but, you know, time is coming near. It's time for us to remember and do what we came here to do, which I believe is helping people to overcome their fear, making sure that they're very clear in whom they choose to serve, raising their level of consciousness. And
right, the presence of these members could be as simple as just to bring your consciousness to that, to this level, to be aware that that...
Right. Well, I definitely feel like someone is trying to give me a message. It's so frequent during the day, and it's almost every day. And I'll get into the car, I'll turn my car on, and it'll be 2:22 as soon as I
yeah. I would say it's a message. It's time to wake up and remember who you
right.
are.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. what you came here to do, your purpose.
Right. You know, at first you think to yourself, you know, it's coincidence, it's this, you know, you push it to the back of your head, but when it becomes so frequent, then you're thinking, now, I mean, I did, you know, try to study it, look it up, see what's going on.
Right.
You know, what kind of messages am I getting? Where is it coming from?
What is your first instinct when these messages come? What is your first thought?
All I do right now is whenever I see these numbers, I just say thank you. And, you know...
That's good.
Yeah, that's all I can. It's just like, please, thank you, and I try to focus on a good thought. I can't even remember what I was thinking like a minute ago. Or
hey, well, it could be as simple as that, as just
right.
like we said, something to bring your consciousness to awareness, I guess,
into the present.
And
the
for some reason, signs come in threes.
Yeah,
for most people, I mean, and for me, it comes in threes.
Right.
So
right.
it may not be the number themselves, as it comes in, you see three numbers in a row or something, and it makes you think.
Right.
So I recommend you go within, to your God within, and ask. Oh. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and
right.
you shall
right.
find. And yeah. allow the information and the significance or meaning to come to you. I want to thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
And you have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. There are two more things I really would like for you to be able to share before we...
Okay.
Close. And one is that you... when you became pregnant, and I want to note that in your process of unfolding that... you've come to understand that you have been in contact with not just these grays,
right.
these bad guys. You feel bad guys.
I contracted on a different level with what you refer to as the Palladium.
Okay. And you had a pregnancy, a very unusual experience with your pregnancy that I would really like for you to share with us, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
My husband and I got pregnant, and it was not planned, but we were excited. And the sequence of events are kind of how everything happened. But I think I was in my eighth week of pregnancy. I had already had my first appointment. My eighth week of pregnancy, I started spotting. I went to the ER. They measured, they did an ultrasound, they said, everything looks fine, your pregnancy looks fine, the fetus is measuring 8 weeks, you could be miscarrying, go home, keep your appointment for your 12th week, which is when they do a routine ultrasound, keep your appointment, and if anything happens between now and then, call us. Your body could be miscarrying, could be expelling it on its own, or you're just spotting. Keep your feet up, take it easy. So we went home, and we were worried, but we were reassured that everything was fine. There was a heartbeat. Everything was fine. I had a dream that I was on, I'm going to say on a ship.
Okay.
In my dream, I laid down, I walked down a hallway, I walked down this long hallway with doors on one side, only the left side, and there were people standing in the hallways like a house party. And these people, I recognized them. A lot of my friends were there. And I just remember feeling very comfortable and like, where am I? What is this? And very vivid colors, everything. I could draw it out if I could draw.
Okay.
And I walked into a room. I opened the door, and I laid down on this almost like an oval-shaped seat or bed and out of metal. And it formed to my body. So it was like a, you know, my arms were up, my legs were spread out, and I laid down, and I just kind of melted into this bed or seat. And I was looking up, and there were bright lights, and I felt warmth. I remember looking down on my to my thighs, and there was two needles, one in each thigh, connected with a tube. I don't know what the significance is. I don't know what this means.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two needles connected to a tube into something like that came down from the ceiling.
Okay.
And I was not afraid. I was not afraid whatsoever. I was very comfortable. I was anxious to get back to the people in the hallway, to my friends, that I couldn't believe were there too. People, my friends that were all over the world at this point, we were all at this party. And I took a detour to this room.
Okay.
So I closed my eyes. I don't remember what happened. I don't know. The next thing I remember is meeting my husband in some type of living room where, again, there was tons of people, meeting up with my husband and asking him, what are we doing here? Where are all these, you know, how are all these people here too? And he said, I don't know, but this is great. And it was a house party. So we talked to a few people, and we went outside, and I remember looking outside and seeing the sky. And it seemed very, very Disneylandish, like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Not real.
Not real. It was not real.
Well, I want to get through this and
okay.
And talk about the.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So you woke up.
I woke up. Didn't mention it to Darren that day.
And you've noticed on your thighs.
I had two little red dots on my thighs.
Okay.
Two tiny little red dots on my thighs. Not, they didn't look like, you know, needle punctures, but they were definitely pronounced red dots on my thighs, exactly where I saw them go in.
And then you went in for your ultrasound at 12 weeks.
Yes, and then I went in for my ultrasound at 12 weeks, and the ultrasound technician could not tell me anything. Of course, we were anxiously awaiting for 3 weeks. I stopped spotting, and then I'd start again, stopped, started, very little, very little.
And what did they find when they did the ultrasound?
The ultrasound technician couldn't tell me anything. So I went upstairs, and they got me an appointment with the doctor right then and there. The doctor did an internal ultrasound and told me, there is no baby, you have a blighted ovum, which is a sac, an egg that implants that does not grow.
Okay. So.
But the sac continues to grow. And she told me, your body has probably been trying to process this, having a natural miscarriage, but it's not. You can either have a DNC or you can wait another 3 weeks until your body processes it.
So
I told her, asked her about, well, what about the ER, when they told me I had a baby in a heartbeat.
Right, and then the next time, 3 weeks later,
there's no heartbeat.
They tell you there's no baby, you have an empty sac, and the mucus plug is still intact.
Right.
So where did the baby go?
She said she can't explain it.
Okay, so where do you think the baby went?
Well, I think I contracted with the good guys,
okay.
Which you refer to as the Palladians.
Yes.
To
well, there are other good guys, Syrians, and I'm not sure about the Arcturians, but I think they're good guys too. There are many different species, but yes, I do believe that your contact is with the Palladians.
But yeah, I believe that my husband and I contracted to give them our baby.
To help in some way.
To help in some way with the new world. Actually, I believe that our son, that there are hybrids out there, but that our baby is our seed.
Yes, I that was confirmed to me as well, that it's not a hybrid, that it is yours and your husband's.
And this to me, I mean, this whole, you know, my dream sequence and what happened and what I believe to be true is, it seems so far-fetched to me. It seems like a movie, so it's hard to believe. But after we found this out, we had the surgery, it was over, no longer pregnant, whatnot, I told my husband of my dream, and he told me that he had the same dream. And he described the people that were in the house. He described the house. He described the outside. The grass looked fake. The outside looked fake. He said it looked like Disneyland. And I said, I know, I had that dream, and we discussed it.
And then your girlfriend also.
Okay, so it became a big joke to my husband and I of, oh, the aliens took our baby.
Yeah, right. And then you were coming out of school at UC Irvine one night after the DNC.
Yeah, so I went back to school a few days later after I had the DNC, and had a break with my girlfriends from college, and we were all talking, and I was telling him, oh, I had this crazy dream. Yeah, the aliens took my baby, and it was blah, 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 and told them all about the dream. And they're like, wow, that's crazy, wouldn't that be funny? One of my friends pulled me aside, put her arms on my shoulders and said, Kelly, it's true.
So
you're not crazy, it's true.
So she had the same dream, or it happened to her?
It happened to her.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is my very, very Christian friend.
Wow. So we know what's going on, and we know it's happening to others, and it's not.
It was confirmation for me.
And
it was confirmation for me. And then when I left school that night, I was driving home, and it was dark, and I looked up in the sky, and I went, oh, that's interesting. That looks like a UFO, just a bright, bright, very big, bright star up in the sky. Didn't look like a star, but mingled with the rest of the stars. If you weren't looking for it, you probably wouldn't have seen it. And I went, huh, I wonder if that's a UFO. And I felt this warmth and comfort come over me.
Wow.
And I felt like everything was okay. And my son was okay.
Wow.
I wasn't afraid. I wasn't sad anymore. And I heard a voice. I don't know if it was my angels. And they said, the next one's yours.
I love it.
I became okay with it, and not, what do you mean these aliens have my babies?
Right.
Like I said, it was a running joke for us. It was
right. You have two beautiful children, if you don't mind me saying so.
I went on
and
to have
possibly
two children
a third up there that we know is being loved and cared for. Listen, before we, I want to briefly touch on the fact that recently you were able to disengage or deactivate your implant.
Yes.
Would you briefly tell the audience, the listeners, how you managed to do this?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I want to clarify that my experience with these aliens, there are two different types that I've been in contact with.
Yes.
One I've contracted, I've chose to go visit and help and work with, and I think I do it on a subconscious level. And that as time goes on, I'm becoming much more conscious. On the other hand, there are these not-so-good beings that I believe are very emotionless. You say they may be Luciferian. I'm not saying that's far from the truth. I think it's very possible. I think they are studying us and whatnot because they want to find out. I don't know what my contract with them is. They are
what
the
their
ones
agenda is with you
that I received
you may not
the
have
implant
a contract.
From. I did not receive the implant from choice. I did not choose to receive the implant.
Correct.
Some people choose to have implants.
And so you were able to release it with just tuning into your oneness.
I was
with God.
It was not removed. It was deactivated.
And
we deactivated
you said that Archangel Michael came in and helped you to deactivate it?
Which, by the way, I've never heard of before
really?
This meditation.
Well, shame on me for not sharing.
Period. Never heard of it, but I met Archangel Michael for the first time.
And he deactivated the implant.
Right, with my angels and source. I asked for their help. I meditated, asked for their help, and Ipo and I, both of us were meditating, and he was my guide, and he took me step by step and said, if there are any implants, please deactivate them now. If there are any, he
right.
said a few other things. And then he came to wormholes. I don't even know what this is, but when he said that, I felt pain at the base of my ear, like right by my earlobe, straight
uh-huh.
to the center of my brain, my entire nervous system. It was like a shock.
Well, I guess we're out of time. Maybe we can do another show another time. Kelly, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's so important that people know that through the power of love, which is the highest vibration in the universe, that all things are possible and with God. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us on BBS Radio's Peaceful Planet. Our closing music is Something from Gossamer Wings by Bob Murray, inspired by George Harrison. Have a great day.